discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life. And most importantly, in business. On Sudden Eye Impact with your host, Lee. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than, greater than. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than. Yes! And your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes the difference. Hello and welcome. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee, coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. On our show, we have fun together, we learn together, and we encourage one another. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics such as, but not limited to, personal responsibility, accountability, support systems, accountability partners, creative vision, belief systems, the power of belief, the power of thought, the power of words, the power of partnership, entrepreneurship, visionary leadership, creativity, consciousness, awareness, being the observer, service, innovation, financial acumen, relationships, goal setting, and goal attainment, to name a few. On our show, we share concepts, principles, processes, and systems that work if you work them, that deliver good and great results. The show's mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, mental health, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing electrifying, powerful, and explosive content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change their life for the better and continue to work to change their life for the best. We have a great show on tap today, and I have the guest, Douglas Vermeeren. He is a multiple-time international best-selling author, including his most recent book, Personal Power Mastery. Douglas is best known for his interviews of over 400 of the world's top achievers and has produced 3 of the top 10 personal development movies, The Opus, The Gratitude Experiment, and The Treasure Map. And he's here to discuss his new movie, How Thoughts Become Things. With no further ado, we introduce Douglas Vermeeren.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. This is going to be fun.
Awesome.
This is going to be fun. Yeah, this is great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you on the show. So you want to just maybe tell the audience, just give them a little bit of, I guess, your genesis and just walk them through
everything. Sure. No, I'm happy to do that. You know, it's kind of interesting because I came from a relatively, how should we say, non-personal development family. In fact, probably much more like most of your audience. I'm very much like them. In fact, my father worked in construction. My mom babysat kids at the home. And I really thought I would be destined as well to repeat what I call the poverty pattern. In other words, we work hard for money and that's it. And so when I was probably about 19, I ran into the book Think and Grow Rich, and that's really what changed everything for me, in fact. When I ran into that book, I really began to understand that I had the power within me to do greater things than I had ever believed possible. And it really changed my life. And so kind of what happened is that really led me to go out and start interviewing these world's top achievers. And naturally, some big changes took place in my life. And probably the biggest one is because of, you know, now we're talking about this movie, Thoughts, How Thoughts Become Things. Because of my thoughts and the things that I learned how to understand, I was able to generate a significant amount of success financially and in my personal life by simply changing my thoughts and applying very similarly what the top achievers had taught me. And so that was really a very powerful experience in my life.
So will you walk us through how you came up with the first movie and how it did well, and kind of tell us your mode of thinking and what gave you the encouragement or strength to continue to go on to the next step, and then the second movie, and then now this one?
Sure. Well, I think the thing that's kind of interesting is at first I didn't intend to also become a filmmaker. And when I first did my very first idea around putting out the movie, like with the interviews of the successful people, there was actually nobody that was interested. There were no studios or individuals that thought that, you know, who would be interested to watch a movie like this. And to tell you the truth, they also had difficulty knowing sort of where to place it. Like, they didn't know what category to put it in as a movie, right? And so at first it was very discouraging to try and find people who would believe in this idea. But then, thank goodness, we saw movies like What the Bleep Do We Know and The Secret had a lot of success. And so from there, people began to see that there was a possibility. There was an audience for this kind of movie. And so, you know, from right when those things began to have that success, I started then getting phone calls to say, hey, would you be interested to do a movie based on the things that you learned? And so my first movie was called The Opus, and it kind of the sub tagline, if you will, is from vision to plan to performance. So when you have a vision of what you'd like to achieve and you've got, you know, a desire to, you know, create better things in your life, well, how do you go about doing it? And so that was our first movie. It came out in 2008, and I had such really amazing people in it, like Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen and Joe Vitale and John DeMartini and many others. And really, because of the success of how that film was received, I was invited to come back and do some other projects. And so my second film was based on the principles of gratitude. And I think that that's something that at the time no one was really talking about. And, you know, what I have found as I interviewed the top achievers is that gratitude was one of the main components that was really important in the lives of successful people. And so that was the second film. And then the third one, I had a lot of people who really wanted to know more about making money. And that seemed to be very important to a lot of people. So we decided to do a film called The Treasure Map that really unfolds sort of the, what's maybe a good word to explain, the way that successful people really create wealth, which is different than what most of the books and materials are teaching out there. And so we decided to do it for, you know, the movie The Treasure Map. And kind of in there, we talked not only about the mindset of money, but the actual strategies that wealthy people do. So it was a really, really, really powerful movie as well.
Nice. So what was the I guess, motive and design behind How Thoughts Become Things?
Well, certainly, you know, as I started doing my interviews from the beginning with the world's top achievers, what I had found is that you know, for me, the first thing that changed in my, you know, connection with myself, even when I was interviewing the top achievers, was really my thoughts. Everything began with my thinking. And as my thinking improved, well, my results and my actions, my habits, the choices I was making, even my perspectives on how I was seeing the world began to change. So that was really kind of the genesis for How Thoughts Become Things. And then, to be quite frank, as I explored and tried to learn more about the subject before presenting it as a film, I really found some insights that most people aren't really talking about, or most personal development that's out there doesn't really address. And so as I recognized so many new things that we could say, things that hadn't been discussed before, I knew that it could be a movie. And that's really when I started working out how to make that happen. And then I started looking for teachers that I felt really understood those principles. And that's kind of how we wound up with the cast that we do. In fact, this movie is really special in the sense that it has many of the people from The Secret returning, you know, Bob Proctor and Dennis Waitley and Marie Diamond and John Otheroff, John DeMartini and Bob Doyle, and many faces that you'll recognize. And so it really was, I guess a good way to explain it is a labor of love, really, to get the right people involved in supporting the project.
Awesome. I know that you are deeply connected to Dennis Waitley, and that he does a lot on visualization. With this thing that happened with the COVID-19 and how it's creating all the fear and panic or whatnot, would you mind, like, explaining visualization and give the audience something that a tool that they can put in a tool belt to use and help them through these difficult times?
Certainly. Well, it's interesting because as we worked on this film, there were a lot of really powerful lessons in terms of visualization and so forth that I had learned. But one of the things that I thought was really kind of interesting about visualization that most of us take for granted, a lot of times we think that visualization is essentially just thinking about or seeing in our mind's eye the things that we're trying to create. And the truth of the matter is there's a lot more to it than that. And I think with visualization, we also need to recognize that we need to see things from the first-person perspective, right? We need to see things as though we were actually there. And I think it's important that a lot of times when people are talking about visualization, they always talk about creating the ideal outcome. But I think it's important in our mind as well to anticipate where we can, what the challenges might be, and then anticipate and visualize ourselves overcoming those challenges. And I think that's one big error that a lot of people have when it comes to visualization is they think that, that everything has to be perfect in seeing it. But I'm going to suggest that that really is something that, just like playing a sport, it comes with practice, right?
Yes, sir. So you've been very successful in multiple areas, Doug. Can you walk us through your daily routine, if you will, and if you don't mind sharing, just let us know how you plan your schedule out, and then what do you do when you just before you drop off to bed, and then when you first awaken in the morning?
That's a really good question. Now, probably like most people, my activities do change from time to time, depending on what it is that I'm doing or working on. Obviously, when we're doing a movie, the days are a little bit different, especially if it's a movie where I'm on the set with things. But I think one of the things that's kind of interesting, and we just actually, funny enough that you asked that question, I just signed a deal today for a brand new book that talks a little bit about how I run my day specifically. And most days I'm actually doing everything that I need to do inside of about 6 minutes a day. So it doesn't take me a long time to get the things done that I need to do. And essentially, the most successful stuff that I learned from the world's top achievers about conducting your day really involves training and delegation and finding the right people to help you support your work. I guess one way to kind of explain it is when I was a young man and I had a chance to do these interviews with the world's top achievers. When I was first starting out, I wanted to start a business. And I'll never forget, I met with a gentleman for lunch. He was worth about $300 million. And I wanted his advice on creating a company. And so when I sat down with him, I asked questions like, what could I do to do this? Or what should I do to get this outcome? Or how should I do my marketing? How should I find, the people who can help me do this, that, and the other? And, as I talked to him for a few minutes, he said something really startling to me. He said, I can tell that you're going to start a very small company. And I said, what? That doesn't make any sense. No, I want to start a big company. And again, he said, no, I can tell that you're going to have a very small company. And I was very confused by that. So I asked him to explain. And he said simply this. He said, the reason I can tell you're going to start a small company is because you're asking selfish questions. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, well, whenever you ask a question like how should I, how can I, how will I, he said, those are selfish questions. And then he said that nothing big was ever built through a selfish question. So he said, rather than asking how can I, you should shift the question to ask things like who can help me? So to shift from a how to a who. I thought that was a really interesting insight. And so now anytime I'm creating a business or a company or anything like this, I'm always asking the question, really, who can help me? Who can help me do this? And the more that I can answer that, the easier things will be, because all great and big things are always created by a team. So when I'm building my day, probably the biggest thing that I'm looking for is, again, to find people who can support me, either with systems or support or talent or education or whatever it is. And the more I can find somebody that's going to be able to effectively help me, the more success I have. And I think that's a really important lesson for us to think about.
Nice. So in your journey from your personal successes, can you kind of walk us through your value and belief system and your thought processes on how you're able to advance despite the naysayers, so on and so forth?
Well, I think that's a great question. And, you know, I think probably the best answer can be found in our film, How Thoughts Become Things. And let me just share what I mean by that. Essentially, we have two thoughts that arrive at any given time, right? There's always a positive thought and a negative thought. Thoughts arrive in a duality. And so if you think about it, you know, let's say you wanted to start a business, you're going to have one thought that says, yes, you could do it. This will be great. It'll be perfect. It'll be amazing. You know, I mean, you'll be profitable. You'll have free time. You'll have all these things. But right behind it comes the other thought that says, no, you can't. You won't. You've never done this before. You're going to fail. And as these two thoughts come, well, which is the one that wins? Well, if you think about it, they kind of descend, the two thoughts together, the positive and the negative, they descend into your programming. And if you're surrounded with people who say, no, you won't do this, or you can't do this, or they're not supportive, or they're not against you, and they're full of naysayers, it's going to be a lot easier for you to excuse yourself by adopting that negative belief. However, if the same group of people surrounding you is positive and supportive and, you know, they've done excellent things before and they're striving to reach high heights, well, then you're going to have greater ability to be stronger. So you've heard it said that we become like the five people we surround ourselves with. And I think that that's important, but we've got to also recognize that it's the people we spend time with, not that we spent time with. So most of us have a tendency to say, listen, I was raised in a difficult family, a bad environment, and all these challenges. And so therefore, I can excuse myself and I don't have to do hard things. Or, you know, I can't do the stuff that is in my dreams because I came from a bad background. And that's just a bad excuse. The truth is we become like the people we're currently spending time with. And so if we start spending time with a higher level of people and a more supportive group of people, we're going to find that we'll have greater power to get to the goals and the things that we want. And then when we have those duality of thoughts, the positive and the negative, if we're surrounding ourselves by empowering people, people that support us, our positive thoughts will have far more power.
Well stated. What about your the planning piece? How far do you plan out a week at a time? I know you have to make adjustments according to what happens, but like on your calendar, can you kind of walk us through your mode of operation when it comes to that?
Well, I think one of the things that I do anyways is I have obviously big plan goals, and I know kind of how to break those down. But oftentimes the day-to-day, I actually delegate to people who are often smarter than me. So in other words, I know what it is that I want to do, but I look for people who can support me, like I said with the how. Remember I said we're looking for who can help us? So with the day-to-day things, I generally will tell people what I'm looking to do and what I want to do, and then I will allow them to honestly decide how it should get done. And one of the reasons why I do that is because there's that saying that says if you're a cog in the wheel, you become a clog in the wheel. So I try to eliminate myself from a lot of areas where I don't have expertise, and I also don't believe in this idea of stepping outside of your comfort zone. I believe it's much easier to get someone who is already comfortable or someone who already has the information so that I don't have to start from scratch. And I think that's a problem that holds a lot of people back from becoming successful is they try to do too much.
Well stated. You mentioned several key names that you probably have mastermind groups with, and you spend a lot of time with them and do other projects with, like Bob Proctor, Joe Vitale, Bob Doyle. Can you kind of tell us, you know, what it's like, you know, how they are personally and what it's like to work with them?
What's funny is I actually don't do many masterminds with them. Obviously, they're friends and we have, you know, conversations by phone, and then we meet each other at various events where we see each other around the world. But oftentimes, you know, we don't get a chance to meet in person because our schedules are so busy. But I do meet with a lot of people in my circle that are close to me, and I do have several multimillionaires that, in fact, are, let's call them, on my safety net, meaning that if I run into troubles or I've got questions about life or business, they're immediately available to me. But oftentimes, I know this is going to sound funny, but most of the people that I spend time meeting with are not really well-known internationally. They're very successful people, but they're not really well-known. And so, I think that that's probably closer to reality than, what some people might imagine, right? The speakers are probably far more busy, in fact, in many circumstances, than many of the top business leaders that I know.
Wow. So, do you mind walking us through the dynamics of your thought processes?
I don't know that my thought processes are probably not much different than other people. The only, I suppose, thing that I would say that most people don't do, and I'm not sure if I do it all the time either, but it's most people, I don't think big enough, right? They have, I believe, oftentimes small goals or a small belief system of what they're capable of or what they're able to do. And I don't think people give themselves enough credit in terms of, you know, what they can create and what they can accomplish. And because of that, they end up playing very, very small in life. And our thoughts obviously produce really our destiny, who we are, what we're going to be, what we're going to allow in our life, and so forth. And so I think the first thing that people need to do if they're going to start thinking bigger is just simply give yourself permission and recognize that you're worthy and you're worth it. And that there's nothing that, if you're going to think, you might as well think big, right? It doesn't do you any good to think partway, and you'll never get massive results by thinking small. So I think that that's probably the essence of that idea.
You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host Lee and Doug Vermeeren. You have the floor, Doug.
Hey, well, thanks for, again, having me here. You know, what's interesting is we look at the movie How Thoughts Become Things and some of the things that this has been able to do, especially in the COVID situation here. I mean, let's be honest, in COVID, a lot of us, none of us have ever encountered this before. This is all very new to us. But many of us are experiencing a lot of different emotions and challenges, everything from doubt and hesitation to certainly fear. And, you know, one of the things that's maybe kind of interesting and exciting to see is how this film has been able to help people during these difficult times. Back not too long ago, probably about 3 weeks ago, I got a letter through email. And naturally, I've been getting lots of letters from people since the movie came out. But one specific letter was from an 11-year-old boy. And he said to me in the email, and I'm paraphrasing now, is that he'd been bullied in school. And it was so much so that he would often try and find an alternate way to get home, just to hope that they wouldn't find him. He also felt like in school he wasn't really doing well because he was diagnosed with a learning ability. So he was afraid for, you know, what should I study? You know, what will I do well at? And what will my future look like if I can't do well in school? And so this really bothered him. But I think one of the things that was quite interesting is he also said that with COVID now, he sees that all the people that he looks up to, like adults and people in his community, that they've also got a sense of fear. And he pointed out that thus far, the conversation around COVID has mostly been directed towards adults. And so he hasn't really known how to approach this idea around fear and what should he do about it. And as he watched the film, one of the things that I'm really excited about is that we do talk about fear. And the thing that's interesting is, and might surprise you, is that we don't tell people to eliminate fear. In fact, fear has a purpose. Fear is something in our life, in fact, that can serve us and help lift us and help open doors of possibility, and then sometimes even give us the courage to do things that we wouldn't normally do. And when he began to see that fear actually can unlock power, it began to open up possibilities for him that he hadn't seen before. And so I want to share that oftentimes, you know, in personal development, we say that if we want to manifest a really good outcome, a better possibility, a more empowering future, that we can't have negative thoughts. We shouldn't have negative thoughts, especially fear or doubt or what have you. But I want to suggest that those things do have a place, and it's okay for us to occasionally have doubts. It's human to occasionally have a fear. Now, one of the things that's interesting also about this young boy is that when he recognized where his fear came from and what the real result was, he could make a choice. He could make a choice to be more confident and to also approach things with a new perspective and have a clear understanding not only of what's causing the fear, but also how it's protecting him and helping him. And it's interesting, if we look about things, the universe is really a big echo chamber, and how we decide, and that's an interesting word, how we decide to show up is often more important than what shows up for us. And as we decide to show up again in the universe with increased fear or doubt or hesitation or worry or panic or any of these negative things, any form of scarcity, well, that's what actually comes back to us. But if we recognize that we have the fear and we see it for what it is, but also put a different story around it, that it's to protect us and help us and open our eyes to possibility, and we choose to show up with confidence, with clarity, with enthusiasm, with power, with boldness, with a desire to be, you know, bigger than we are, to expand, well, that's what shows up for us. Again, the universe is an echo chamber. And I think it's interesting to point out that ever since the Big Bang, at the beginning of the universe, everything has been expanding. Everything's in expansion mode. And so if we want to have more, well, we've got to start by being more. That's the method. That's the route. That's how things unfold. And I think that that's one of the biggest lessons that I'd like to leave people from the movie, How Thoughts Become Things, is we need to learn how to start to play in a bigger way. We need to see ourselves in a bigger perspective. We can't be afraid. We've got to recognize that it's not really what we don't know that's holding us back, and it's not the comfort zone that we need to step into. It really is a matter of owning our greatness and our brilliance and stepping into who we were meant to be, rather than who we've kind of sometimes fooled ourselves into believing who we are, which is generally much smaller than what we are. So I really enjoy that part of the film, and I hope that people will enjoy it. For those that do want to see the film, we've got some really fun things that we're doing right now. And before I tell you what those fun things are, let me tell you who you're going to learn from. In the film, you've got Bob Proctor, you've got John DeMartini, you've got Dennis Waitley, you've got John Osrock, you've got Marie Diamond, you've got Bob Doyle, you've got people like Travis Fox, and some newcomers that you've never heard before. And they have some very powerful insights, not just into thoughts becoming things, but really the practical way in which they do, and how you can overcome some of the difficulties from your past, and even some of the things that you might be believing right now about yourself that are holding you back. Now, here's some of the fun things that we have to share. Right now, if you go and acquire the movie, we don't want you to just watch it. We want you to absorb it. We want you to change with it. We want this movie to be a tool that opens up doors of possibility for you. And so in addition to the film, we've included actually a free workbook where you can come and actually implement the lessons from the movie in real time. And this will allow you to start manifesting all the things that you want, all the things that you dream about, all the things that you feel that you want to have, all your desire. You'll find a way to manifest them quicker by using the workbook and accompanying with the film, because it will help you see with clarity where you're maybe not getting a few things right. And naturally, you'll also be able to recognize the negativity or the things in your life that are really preventing you from having what you want. In addition to the workbook, I'd like to give you two other free gifts. I'd like to give you, in fact, an audio recording that will teach you more about the behind the scenes of the film. And I'd also like to give you a special power quotes book that you can use each day as affirmations to help you see yourself for how you really are. Now, those that enjoyed this, we've got a few other things that are available there as upsells. For example, you can get a special package with interviews behind the scenes with all of the speakers, or even access to all of our movies. We made this very inexpensive and affordable so that everyone can have access to these things to help them in their journey to unlock their personal success. Now, I want to share that the way that you can find all this, the way that you can see the movie, is to simply head over to www.howthoughtsbecomethings.com. Again, that's www.howthoughtsbecomethings.com, just the name of the film. And I think it's important to recognize that we all know that thoughts do become things. But the problem that most people are still lacking, and that we will answer for you in the film, is the how. And the other important word is to become, which means that there's going to be some changes. And as you make those changes, the doors of possibility will open to you, and you'll begin to see things for how they are and how you can really get to the next level in everything that you want to do. So I invite you guys to check that out. It's been a pleasure being with you today, and I'm going to turn the time over back to Dwight Lee.
Thank you, sir. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee, from the DFW Metroplex. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day, staying safe and following protocol. I've got my heart in it, and it has an unbelievable beat. I've got my mind on it, and I'm always being authentic with me. I've got my heart in it, and due to the small voice within, I be hearing deep. I got my mind on it, and all my promises to myself I'm going to keep. I've got my mind on it, and I'm accomplishing feats only I am knew I would reach. I've got my mind on it, and all of my art produced is of the highest quality. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show. We had the guest, Doug V., who is over the movie How Thoughts Become Things. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about that. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Someone listening may have said, this idiot just said the same thing. I beg to differ. What I said is, you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. So what I'm saying is, in essence, what you think one time, that's not necessarily what you are. But what you think over and over and over and over and over and over again, called habitual thinking, that you are, or that you become. So the average person has about 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day. And they say of that amount, we're conscious of about 5% of those thoughts. So I'm going to use the smaller number, which would put us at about 3,000 thoughts per day that we are conscious of. So I'm going to ask two questions. The first question is, what assignment or what target or what goal are we giving those 3,000 thoughts? Or are we just allowing those thoughts to run rampant? Second question is even a better question. What about the 57,000 thoughts that we are not conscious of? What are we doing with those? The reason that I'm asking these questions is because we wonder why our life is in the state that it's in, but we don't take personal responsibility for managing our mind. I'm going to give you an example of the difference between managing your mind and not managing your mind by my observation. So in order to do that, I'm going to do a quick lesson in neuroplasticity. In order to perform this quick lesson, I'm going to have to bypass your amygdala and your thalamus. The amygdala is fight, flight, or freeze, means stay stuck, don't do anything. And what I want to do is I want to bring a heightened awareness to your cerebral cortex, your neocortex, your cerebellum, and your reticular activating system. Yes, you're listening, and you may not know where these things are located, but you can Google them, or you can pull them up on the internet and look at them and evaluate them later. The reason I'm going to do this is because I need everybody to get in a mood or attitude of thanksgiving or gratitude so that we can release the right substance or sustenance called hormones, endorphins, and neurotransmitters, such as anandamide, oxytocin, serotonin, to name a couple, dopamine. And what these secreted juices do is they give you a calm feeling, they give you a blissful feeling, they give you a joyful feeling, they give you a happy feeling. Why is that important? is so that your heart will be open and your mind will be open to receive the knowledge that's coming forth that can aid and assist you in beginning to change your life as you understand the power of your thoughts, the power of your beliefs, and the power of your speech. Now, to take this further, I want everyone to imagine a two-story home that was built in 1960. I want you to go within your imagination and visualize entering the home, going immediately up the stairs into the attic. When you get to the attic, you're going to be awestruck at what you see, because you're going to see a lot of dust. You probably start coughing. You're going to see a lot of cobwebs and spider webs. You're basically going to see chaos. And so in the good book, the Bible, it talks about this in Romans 12:3, being ye transformed and being renewed by the renewing of your mind. And although it doesn't implicate it, it means to do it every day. So just like we wash our body every day when we take a shower or a bath, we wash our face, we brush our teeth, we wash our hands several times throughout the day because it's accumulating dirt and germs. Well, our mind is accumulating similar things because different thoughts are everywhere. Everybody's fighting for your mind. It's kind of like the Autobahn in Germany. Thoughts are racing in and racing out. So what you have to do is you have to be a gardener of your mind. You have to look at your mind. You have to evaluate it. You have to challenge thoughts by speaking words to uproot the thoughts that just landed in your mind. Now, you may not be responsible for what comes into your mind, but you are responsible for what you allow to stay in your mind. So if it's an unfruitful or non-productive thought, you have to take your speech and kick the thought out. And then you have to go one further. You have to plant a productive, a more impressive, a more powerful thought, because what you impress will be expressed. I'm going to give you another example. And we're going to use the front cover of the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So on the left side of the equation, you have E for employee, you have S for self-employed, and then you have on the right side of the equation, you have B for business owner, and you have I at the bottom for investor. I'm going to use an example that's not drawn to scale. I'm going to use the number 8 billion. Let's say we have 8 billion workers in some capacity. And I know we don't have that. I'm just using this number because it's a number that's easy to use for everybody to see the diagram. So with that being said, the left side of the equation of the number 8 billion is going to be 7,920,000,000 people. And I'm going to say they're using their five senses: see, smell, taste, hear, and touch. The right side of the equation is going to be 80 million people. And I'm going to say they're using their sixth sense, or their mental faculties: imagination, intuition, memory, perception, reason, and will. So the left side of the equation is going to make up the majority of the population, 98%. The right side of the equation is going to make up the minority of population, 2%. Now, what's interesting is that the 98% majority in population is going to be the minority, 2%, in controlling the wealth of the world, meaning the financial resources, financial instruments, and money. Whereas the right side of the equation is going to be the minority in population, 2%, but it's going to be the majority in controlling the wealth of the world, representing 98% controlling the wealth of financial resources, financial instruments, and money. Huge discrepancy. One side has 7,920,000,000 people. The other side has 80 million people, but has 98% of the finance. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the difference in between managing your mind and not managing your mind, and is why you should study out and begin to do research on your thoughts. everyone, the average person has between 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day. So outstanding thinkers and scholars, great teachers, they have even more thoughts beyond that. So with that being said, each person that's listening to this program should begin to do research on thought and should begin to study it out for themselves and prove it to themselves. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee. To reach me, find out more about the Sudden Eye Impact Show, or to find out about coaching, you can reach me through bbsradio.com. Quote, more gold has been mined from the thoughts of men than has been taken from the earth, period, end of quote, Napoleon Hill. A man is but the product of his thoughts. What he thinks, he becomes, period, end of quote, Mahatma Gandhi. Quote, our life is what our thoughts make of it, period, end of quote, Marcus Aurelius. Always aim at complete harmony of thought and word and deed. Always aim at purifying your thoughts, and everything will be well, period, end of quote, Mahatma Gandhi. I want to talk to everyone about when the unthinkable becomes reality. The unthinkable becomes reality for you when you arise in the morning, look in the mirror, and understand that your eyes carry a rank, and decide that there is nobody else in the whole wide world that you would rather be, simply because all you can be is you. The unthinkable becomes reality for you when you realize that you are a gift to the world and understand your presence counts, and your energy alone is enough to not only shift your consciousness, but it's so powerful it can shift the entire planet when properly understood. The unthinkable becomes reality for you when you recognize that you are the captain of your own soul and master of your own fate, and fully comprehend that you are an infinite being with absolutely no limits or restrictions except those that you personally buy, and there is absolutely no limits or restrictions to what you can do or accomplish. Be the change you want to see. Be an agent of change. Be an ambassador of change. First you will change you, then your world and everything in it will change. Until the next Sudden Eye Impact episode, do what you know to do with a heightened level of focus, and use your faith.